And welcome to the Co-op Show. I'm one of your hosts, Brits.
And I'm Jason.
And today we're talking about our time exploring Enoch with the assistance of my farting pants in Outriders.
Oh, yep. I like it.
I have this thing, friends, and we'll talk about it. But I always tend to get weird farting pants in video games.
I don't know how you
do it. In Diablo 3, it was a pair of pants that I found that had the stinky trait. And it always emitted this green gaseous
little puffs.
Puffs.
Every like few seconds.
Yeah.
As you would run around, you would be.
But they were so good. I had to keep them anyway. Yeah,
it's all about those stats, man.
All about those stats. But first, Reb, our lovely derpy yellow lab, would love to give the following podcast reviewer a shout out, which is Smooth Dude. Smooth Dude. I think I said that right. It's just kind of like a play on Smooth Dude, but smooth.
But smooth with a
smooth.
With a V.
Yes. Anyway, Smooth Dude, thank you so much for your review. And we did give Reb 2 belly rubs from you and your girlfriend. So,
and he enjoyed them.
He did. He said, thank you, Smooth Dude.
How can other people donate belly rubs to Reb?
They can leave us a review on their platform of choice. And every review gets Reb a belly rub.
And we also give each other a high five. Just kind of.
I thought
kind of
you were
going to
say for a minute, we also give each other belly rubs. Like, that would be an interesting way of showing affection.
We could try that. I mean.
Yeah, we might be down for it.
I don't know that I've ever really asked for a belly rub. I like back rubs.
Yeah.
But not so much belly rubs.
Well, maybe tonight I'll pour you a glass of whiskey, light a candle. And give you the
best.
Give
me a nice belly rub, but only if we get another review.
Okay, so leave us a review for belly rubs for Jason as well. So Outriders.
Yes, please.
So this game released on April 1st, 2021. This was a review copy provided for Jason and I, so thank you, Square Enix. It is a third-person RPG shooter with a heavy focus on co-op. It is rated M for mature, developed by People Can Fly, published by Square Enix for the Xbox One, PS4, PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. It supports online-only co-op with up to 3 players. It is available on Game Pass, which is a huge get from Microsoft, so if you have that Game Pass, man, that's a good place to get Outriders. Otherwise, if you're playing on a PlayStation console, you're going to have to fork over $59.99. So, the plot overview for Outriders. Do you know what Outriders is all about?
I've been trying with this game to follow along with the story because I'm really into the game. So I don't read all the words.
You don't read any words.
But let's just have you give the TLDR and I'll tell you if any of it was a surprise. How about that?
Okay. So imagine there's some dramatic music behind me, friends, and I have a really low bass-like voice for this next paragraph. As mankind bleeds
wait,
out.
Wait, give it your lowest, bassiest voice.
As mankind.
Okay, never mind. Stop. Just go to your normal voice.
What? Do you want a belly rub?
Oh, my God.
As mankind bleeds out in the trenches of Enoch, you'll create your own Outrider and embark on a journey across the hostile planet. With rich storytelling spanning a diverse world, you'll leave behind the slums and shanty towns of the first city and traverse forests, mountains, and desert in pursuit of a mysterious signal. Dun, dun, dun. And that's a very vague plot overview, but I think this game has some really fascinating lore and story to it. For some reason, I'm really hooked on it. Everyone else I've talked to about the story thinks it's like fine, but I'm super into it. But a lot of the really interesting tidbits you get through codex entries and whatnot. But pretty much, you have landed on this planet. You are trying to find a new planet for Earth. And, of course, it's never that easy. Shit goes down, and you have to figure out how to make it. Because you're an Outrider, and you're the only ones who can do it.
Yeah, and this game is fucking fun.
Fucking fun.
That's my contribution.
That's a really good story contribution that had nothing to do with the story. So I want to note too, there is a demo available for this game. That's actually how you and I got introduced to Outriders, was the demo. And in this demo, you can try all 4 classes, which we'll be talking about in a minute, and experience the prologue and the first like 2 to 3 hours of the game. So
did they fix the demo issues too with the latest patch?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Are you talking about like the HDR issues and the frame rate issues and
the
stuff?
Frame rate mostly, yeah.
Oh, I imagine they probably
Yeah, did. I would, okay.
Yeah. So, man, like where do we even start? Like Jason said, we've been having a lot of fun with Outriders. Oh, I'd say God. Like this is one of the this is like some of the most fun we've had in a while.
Probably all year, this might be the most fun we've been having with a co-op game.
Yeah. I would say Ghost of Tsushima was really fun.
Ooh, that was really, really fun. Yeah.
But this one has more content, obviously. But this one is, this is one of those games where we put off doing adult, like adult things we should do, like cleaning the house or preparing for guests to come over.
Because we really just want to play Outriders. Because
we're kind of vaccinated, you know, and now we can start enjoying people's company again. You know, it's just stuff like that. They're like, okay, well, maybe we should work instead of playing Outriders, but what's the fun in that? We're adults. We can do what we want. As long as we get that mortgage paid, we're good.
We've been probably putting in 3 or 4 hours every day since Outriders came out, and it's what we spend all night doing because this game is fun. Let's talk about it.
So let's start, I guess, with the fact that this is a third-person shooter slash RPG, and I think the RPG elements are what really makes this game shine and stand out. Don't get me wrong, but the combat is super fun, and we'll talk about that too. But let's talk about the four classes that you can choose from. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this is obviously like a very critical component to this game. So you have four classes. You have the Devastator, the Pyromancer, the Technomancer, and the Trickster. Now, the Devastator is your close-range tank, and your motto is stand your ground. That's me.
That's you.
Spoilers.
Yep.
Jason is a Pyromancer, which is a medium-range fire conjurer. But there's also two other classes, the Technomancer, which is long-range, and they support a support class, and they have all these fun gadgets and gizmos. And then you have the Trickster class, which is close-range, hit-and-run type of gameplay. So we haven't play Technomancer or Trickster, so we can only really talk about the Devastator.
And the Pyromancer, yeah.
Exactly. So the four different classes, just to start off with, have their own innate traits. So for example, the Devastator, that's me, big tank, beefy girl, comes with an additional 15% maximum health, 30% extra armor, and every close range kill heals me for 24%. I would ask you if you knew what yours were off the top of your head, but...
Yeah, for Pyromancer...
Do you know?
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm all about those stats and, ooh, and so on.
I stand corrected.
You know, I actually don't know what my innates are, to be honest, but I do...
I do know what they are.
Oh, okay, tell me what my innates are, because I know about my stats, but not my innates. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was going to be really impressed. I was going to give you a lot of free belly
rubs. I was
going to
tell you about my healing mechanic, which I do know all about.
Girl, I always want to hear about your healing mechanic. Okay, so the Pyromancer, for example, receives 10% additional anomaly power. Your skills mark damaged enemies for 15 seconds, and killing a marked enemy heals you for 24%. So again, like all four of those classes, when you're picking and choosing, you're obviously going to like look at what makes the most sense for your playstyle. And then depending on that, you're going to get those innate traits that support that playstyle.
Yeah. What I find really interesting about those innates, if you noticed, the classes have healing mechanics that actually have to do with getting kills.
The combat, yeah.
And so it really rewards this aggressive playstyle. At least for the classes that we're playing, because if you want to heal, you better kill some motherfuckers. And that means you need to get your ass out there and shoot some motherfuckers.
Which is such a good point, because I see a lot of people comparing this to Gears of War. And I think Gears of War is like the epitome of a cover shooter when you think of it.
Yeah.
Because you really do like have to be behind cover all the time. But I would argue that the cover in Outriders is mostly for the enemies. Because like the cover in this game will not cover you. You will get shot in the head.
And it feels almost a little buggy too with the cover mechanics. Like if you use a special move, sometimes it'll bring you out of cover. And then for some reason, there's like this weird 2 to 3 second lag where I can't get back into cover after using the move.
Oh, I don't think I've experienced that.
Okay. Well, anyway, I haven't really mentioned it, but it's just, but no, I agree with you. I'm far more often I am on the move while I'm doing my killing, and I'm sort of rounding the corner where an enemy is hiding in cover and I'm taking them out, you know?
Yeah.
I'm more on the move. And as a matter of fact, I know we'll get into this, but one of my gear mods that I really like rewards that more aggressive behavior gameplay by it gives me some sort of epic buff to my firepower and my anomaly power if I kill somebody or if I'm shooting while moving. Mm. And so it's like it's encouraging me to stay moving, which I like. That's cool as a play style.
Yeah.
For me, it's more exciting. It's more aggressive, and that rewards my healing mechanic, which lets me stay on the battlefield.
What is anomaly power, Jason?
I would think of it as like skill-based damage rather than bullet-based damage.
That's a good way of putting it.
That's how I think of it.
Speaking of skills, each class comes with their own set of 8 skills. So like, yeah, think of these as like unique abilities outside of using your pew-pews. So each, again, the 8. So For example, as the Devastator, some of my favorite moves, and this is what I love about Outriders, is usually when you think of a tank class, you think of like, I don't know, put up a shield, just increase your armor, you know, oh, you're so strong, blah. But there's some really fun stuff in this. So one of my favorites is Reflect Bullets, which is actually a protection skill.
I love this move.
I love this move so much. So essentially what it lets you do is it lets you put up this shield. Now you can't necessarily fire your weapon when you have this particular version of the shield up. There is a mod that lets you kind of do a few little different things, but my favorite version of it is that you put up your hands and then the shield comes up and all these bullets that come are being shot at you, your shield absorbs.
It's like a magnetic field. It's like a see-through magnetic field.
Yeah. And so I'm usually like putting up my shield and like covering for Jason, standing in front of you.
I'm just saying, I'm hiding behind you, honestly. Yeah, you're moving around and I'm trying my best to stay behind your ass.
This is the best part. After 10 seconds, the damage is reflected back to the enemies. Like, that's so cool.
All of the bullets
that I've accrued during my magnetic shield are flung back at the enemies.
Yeah.
And usually you don't get skills like that for a tank, which is more of like a protective support skill, right?
It is, but it's so badass because like we need to push in. It's like having a fucking like, you know, it's like a phalanx or whatever where you move in on the enemy and capoeira.
Phalanx,
I think is that what it's, yeah, it's like the phalanx. You know how when, wait, no, is that a testudo formation?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, someone's going to look me up on this. Okay, you talk for a minute. I need to Google phalanx and testudo.
I thought phalanx sounds like a body part. Anyway, is that like a version of a sphincter?
Hold on. I've just Googled it.
Okay.
The phalanx in ancient Greek was a rectangular mass military formation, usually composed entirely of heavy infantry armed with spears,
pikes. Did you learn that in Total War?
I did. I learned that in Rome Total
War. That's what I thought.
I also learned what the testudo formation is.
Okay.
But we don't need to go into that. Oh, yeah, we do.
Okay, all right,
in ancient Roman warfare, the testudo or tortoise formation was a type of shield wall formation commonly used by Roman legions during battles, particularly sieges. That's what I meant when I was thinking about it. It's the testudo formation. See
there?
That's
really neat. Francie's really proud of himself. He wants me to look at his phone from across the counter. And I'm
showing you this picture of a testudo formation.
That's a really cool testudo formation. I'm so happy for you.
Acknowledge my cool reference, damn it. I learned that in Rome Total War.
That's very neat. Oh, God. Another really cool skill I like is Impale, which is like an interrupt skill, which is lets you interrupt. Think of like the skill casting of your enemies, which impales enemies on a stake. There's a gravity leap skill that lets you like pull back and then, you know, float in the air and then pick your enemy and then from afar shoot down through them like a bullet.
Cool shit.
It's really cool stuff. And they're, again, like fun and they're just so non-tank traditional and I love it. So you can have three skills equipped at a time.
Wait, I get to talk about my cool skills.
You will,
now.
But I'm going to talk about just 1 second. You take those panties in your hand and you hold on. There's no panties in his hand. What am I trying to say? I don't know. Anyway, the one thing I did want to mention real quick is you can have three of these skills equipped at a time. So by the time
out of eight.
Right. Yep. So by the time you unlock them by leveling up. So I think you unlock the final one at level 22. And so once you unlock that final one, you'll have all eight at your disposal. But you can only have three equipped at a time, but you can open up your menu and then go over to the skills tab and then switch them out, which can be kind of a bumbling mess, especially when you're being charged and shot at. You kind of have to try to find a safe place to do that. And so what I have found is that, like, I have a skill called the Reflect Bullets, for example, the one I've talked about. That one's really great against human enemies, but not great against monsters because they don't shoot at you. So I like the Gravity Leap skill, which is the one where you leap into the air and strike your enemies from above.
And it looks pretty cool, too.
So, like, what's your favorite skill as a pyromancer?
Ooh, I have to pick just one.
You have to pick just one because I talked too long about mine.
The one that I use all the time is my Inferno or Volcano Bullets. What it's called Inferno.
Oh, those OP
Volcanic
things.
Bullets. The devs just put out a patch notes that acknowledge that these things are OP, but fuck it, I don't care, man. These things are OP and I love them. So essentially my gun turns into a molten magma gun and it shoots molten magma bullets. These bullets do like 3 to 4x the damage of normal bullets. They ignore armor. They pierce through enemies. And so they shoot, you know, anything behind enemies. And God, you can just buff the shit out of them with various mods and modifiers. And I love them. But I got to talk about one other one that I really, really like. It is Thermal Bomb. And what it does is it...
Was that your newest one?
No.
Oh.
It's not. That's a different one. But Thermal Bomb, it tags an enemy with basically, think of it as like a grief or a curse. If they die within, you know, 5 to 10 seconds or whatever of being tagged with thermal bomb, they explode in a ball of hot flaming mess, and that deals
a ton of damage.
Yes, that's thermal bomb, and that deals a ton of damage to anyone around them. Plus, it's just awesome to watch them die from it.
It's actually pretty fucking cool. It's very gory.
Yes,
I wonder
they
what that
float
was.
Into the air in like a crucifix format, and then kaboom.
Yeah, because I've shot and killed the enemies in the game, and then they explode like that. I was like, why is that happening?
That's me tagging them with thermal bomb.
That's pretty fucking cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So you have your innate skills, you have your innate traits, you have your 8 skills, and then you have your class trees. So it's like your typical skill tree, but there's a lot. I think there's like at least 50 little class unlocks you can unlock as you level up throughout the game. So it's a skill tree essentially. And so they kind of branch into 3 different areas per class. So for example, if you're the Devastator, it eventually turns into Vanquisher, Warden, or Seismic Shifter, Pyromancer. You have Ashbreaker, Firestorm, and Tempest. But I would say like the first few times you unlock these skills are pretty intermingled. But towards the end, like you can get into some real nitty gritty shit.
Yeah.
But the interesting part about this, because I was looking into this, so the level cap is 30 in this game. We are at 24.
Oh, interesting.
You can only get a max of 20 skill points or class points.
Oh, so you better use them wisely.
Right. And I think there's over 50, I would say, little things to unlock.
Did you mention these skill points are all, they're all passive buffs?
They're all passive buffs.
It's all just passive buffs.
So for me, it's like increase your armor, increase your max health, increase or decrease cooldown times.
Some of them can get pretty interesting though. Like, you know, they'll say like, okay, if an enemy is afflicted with the ash status condition, then they will like explode when they die.
Yeah.
Or and like
do damage to those around them, right?
Or like while enemies are on fire, they will take 30% more damage. Like it's not just like lame, like, oh wow, a passive firepower buff. It's like cool effects that are also passive.
Yeah.
That's what those are.
Agreed. Yeah. And it's actually a really great skill tree.
Yeah. It's fun.
And the best part is that you can respec as many times as you want with no penalty.
Yes.
So thank God. Hallelujah. Because, yeah, if you only get 20 points, but there's over 50 to unlock, like you really have to be careful.
You got to pick and choose. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't just get to pick and choose willy-nilly. You have to pick, you know, it's a skill tree. So you have to pick certain skills that are connected to the one before it along a certain tree line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really great how much you can customize your Outrider. And then like the final note about the unique stuff per class is that each class gets 4 unique sets of legendary armor as of right now.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've found a single piece of legendary armor. I've found a couple of legendary weapons though.
I found a really hideous chest, the top.
The coat?
Coat, and it's not, is it a coat? It looks like, real talk, it looks like Master Chief's like, really like failed cousin because it's like this bright neon green, like rusted old armor. And I'm like, what's happening? You know? And that's the other thing is you get the weirdest combo combinations in this game.
Oh my God. You, at
it's
one point,
so RPG in that way.
I love that though. Yeah. At one point you looked like you were wearing a diaper. Are you still wearing that diaper?
At least I don't have a glowing loincloth on like you do. No. Yeah. I got these hideous like black pants, but like the butt and the crotch were all white and they had a little design on him. So it looked like I had the little tidy whities on. Yeah. When I was running around and it was really embarrassing. But I also love that. I think it's just part of a charm of RPGs is when you get armor that's just absolutely hideous.
Oh, yeah.
But you do what you got to do for the stats.
We love making fun of each other about what hideous bullshit we're wearing because it's like, well, that's the best stats that I could do, you know? And it's like, it's all about performance, not about aesthetics, right?
In exactly. An RPG. Speaking of performance and armor and shit, there is so much customization and modding when it comes to your weapons and armor.
Oh, I love it.
And this is just another like super, this is another layer of how deep these RPG mechanics go in Outriders. It's really impressive.
I love it.
I think we keep forgetting that this is not a game as a service. And we'll talk about this later too, but there's just so much depth here. It's like, holy crap. Like how can this game have an endpoint when I feel like you can continually min max to get the best build possible?
I agree. I really hope that they're going to put out lots of DLC with continuing campaign or quest content. This is something I've been thinking about because there's so much depth here for a single player experience that ends And I'm curious to see what is the end game in this game, because we're like not there yet. Because
it could be played single player. I see what you're saying.
Sorry, when I said single player, what I meant was like...
like not a Destiny, not a game as a service.
Right, a campaign experience is what I meant by single player.
Well, I'll tell you, I have some info for that coming up.
Alrighty then.
But we're going to circle this bitch back around.
Alrighty.
And talk about weapon and armor customization, because again, let's do it.
Good.
So while you're playing this game, you're going to find resources. So you're going to find leather, iron, titanium, and these things called shards, which you get by disassembling gear. And you use these to customize your weapons and your armor by talking to a character in your camp. And you'll be like, yo, I want to modify my shit. And he's like, muh, right? So would you like to give like a brief rundown of what that looks like? Because you're like the min-max king. So you can, you have each piece of armor. I know I just pass it off to you, but let me just start with this. Because like, again, like I'm the kind of person where as long as I see my stats going up, I'm happy. I'm like, cool, this is great. I deal more damage. And Jason's like, well, if I do this and I do this and I do this, and it's like this whole thing. So I think the main thing here is modding of like the armor.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't want to get like too in depth because this thing does go really deep, but just to keep it simple. So for every eight, you mentioned that there are eight active skills that you can have. Well, for each of those eight skills, you've got something like five or six, passive, buffs to those skills that you can apply to your armor. Each armor has either 0, 1, or 2 mod slots in it. And you've got, I think, five, bits of armor that you can wear. So, at best, you've got 10 mod slots within your armor that you can put that you can use to buff various of your active skills, or you can give other passive buffs to your character. For instance, one of the ones that comes to mind for me is that if my character reaches 30% HP or lower, it automatically activates the golem effect, which reduces incoming damage to me by what, like 75%, something like that?
65%, yeah. 65.
So that's just an example of a mod that I have chosen to apply in one of my 10 slots.
And for me, an example would be my reflect bullets might last 20% longer or 40% longer, or maybe when it does reflect the bullets back at the enemies, it deals vulnerable or bleed status, etc.
Got it. So with that said, there are these mods that you can put in your armor and in your weapons. There are 3 tiers of these mods, and these mods themselves are like loot because you get them by disassembling or dismantling gear that you're not going to equip.
You find the gear that already has the mod on it.
That's right.
And you get the mod and you gain access to the mod and by disassembly. Yeah.
These mods, to me, they feel almost like a collectible card game. Like, you and I love Pokemon. And when I see a weapon or a piece of armor that has a mod on it that I don't already have in my, like, inventory, I'm like, yes, I'm going to disassemble this thing and grab it.
It's like the Holo Charizard.
Yeah, because once you unlock that mod by disassembling it, a weapon that has it or an armor piece that has it, you get it forever. You can now use that mod and apply it to anything you want in the future.
Which requires the resource leather to do so.
So you have now unlocked that mod. So I feel like there's so many like elements of loot to this game that are so fun that just to get back to the whole armor modding.
One thing I want to mention too, is like you said, it's like a collectible card game. I want to give props because the game does tell you if you've already unlocked that mod. There's a little icon that looks like a little checker or something next to it. And it's like, okay, you've unlocked this. Then you can look at a glance instead of trying to remember, because there are so many in between the 3 tiers.
There's probably over 100 mods for armor, and then maybe 100 for weapons as well. I mean, this is insane, and it's so much fun to figure out to strategize. Like, what mod am I going to put on what armor that's going to give me the best boost to the playstyle I like to play?
Mm-hmm. I have my situation all down by this point. I haven't changed my mods in a hot minute, but it works, you know. Some of the other interesting things you can do is you can level up your gear, which essentially if you're leveling up your armor, it increases the armor value. If you're leveling up your weapon, it increases the amount of damage your weapon does.
Yep.
You can improve the rarity of your weapon, and you do that so you can unlock more mods. per weapon.
Yeah, so the thing is that a blue rarity, which is I think just rare, has only one mod slot.
That's right.
But a purple, which is epic, has two mod slots.
Yeah. So there's just so much more. And there's this whole thing about shards, and like there's just so much more you could do with this. A
lot
this.
More customization.
Yeah, so it's a really exciting feature, and it's really well done.
Oh, man.
Like it keeps it really exciting.
This is the most fun with looting that I've had in a game since probably Diablo 3. And to me, Diablo 3 is like, that is my bar setter in terms of loot, in terms of most best loot system I've ever found in a game was Diablo 3. And this to me approaches that level of funness in terms of loot. Like that's how much I love this.
Damn. That's some good praise right there. But no, I agree. It's really fun. And they did a fantastic job. So the TLDR and all of that, friends, is if you are looking for a character that you can customize and make as your own, look no further. There's a lot of different play styles that you can really play with in Outriders.
Yeah.
The other thing I thought was kind of interesting that we've had a lot of fun with that I didn't really expect it is the world tier system. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm a believer of baby ass baby mode. If you want to play on the easiest difficulty, you go on with your bad self. No one's here to tell you can't do what you want to do. And for the most part, I like to play on the easiest mode sometimes. But when Jason and I play games together, we like the challenge because I think a challenge is fun when you're playing with someone else.
It is, yeah.
It's a fun way to collaborate and put your brains together and be like, oh, how are we going to do this? So in Outriders, there are no difficulty settings, but there are 15 world tiers. And as you progress through each world tier, your rewards get better, your loots get better, all that fun stuff. And you gain XP while... It's like you have your XP bar, like where your characters level up, but then underneath that you have your world tier XP bar, and you get that from killing enemies. That's the only way. Like campaigns, missions won't do it. So as you're playing, and you have to make sure you're playing on the highest level that you've unlocked. So like if I was playing on level 5 world tier, I can't unlock level 8 world tier because I'm not playing on 7.
Yeah, world tier is essentially, did you mention this? It's essentially just a difficulty level, but it also gives you buffs to the chances that you have to find rarer items.
I said that. Maybe I didn't.
Okay.
I think you literally just TLDR'd me in the best way possible.
Did I really?
But no, I think what you made is the most sense. I was like going down these tributaries and you're like, let me just make this real quick. So to recap that, for example, world tier 1, which is the first difficulty you start on, the enemy level is -2. Your loot rarity modifier is 80%. We are on world tier 12, which is called torment mode.
Yeah.
And for this one, the enemy level is +9. The dropped item level is +9. The loot rarity modifier is 350%. So like as you progress, it obviously gets much more difficult. But you know, your rewards go up, and as you progress and unlock each world tier, you get special rewards.
Yeah.
And in this last one, we unlocked a legendary weapon.
Yeah, and it was cool. Yeah. This world tier difficulty system is, it mirrors what Diablo 3 does if you are a listener who has played Diablo 3. So this will be familiar. And it works really, really well. It keeps things difficult and fresh for us. It keeps the challenge going. I feel like there's been a couple of occasions where we world tier leveled up and then we really had some difficulty. We struggled to like get past the next section, but we kind of readjusted. Okay, we need to stick closer together. We need to work better. You know, I'm going to be a little more strategic when I go out and open. I'm going to stay behind your shield, things like that. And we were able to reconquer, like reestablish our dominance.
Yeah. And the world tier. What's great about it is I was looking into this because we had questions about it.
Yep.
If you do die, you'll lose some XP.
On your world tier?
But you will never be demoted.
Okay. That makes sense.
Because you can always go in and just lower your world tier if you're finding that your ass is getting kicked a little too hard.
Because I thought that I had noticed that we died a few times, and I was like, I'm pretty sure our world tier XP has dropped. And then we were trying to watch for it, and we couldn't really definitively know. So that's good that you found out.
Yep, that's what I found out. Okay. So anyway.
So you won't be demoted, but it is possible that you could get stuck and die too much so that you will never actually get to the next world tier.
Correct.
Got it.
You got it, dude.
Got it.
Anyway, I think this is a really great system. It works very well. It's so much better than I think easy, medium, hard difficulty.
Oh yeah, this is fun.
It's so much more intricate, I guess, in that sense. But it's the challenge and the comp. Oh god, it's just so good.
The game just keeps adapting to how good you are and how well you've min-maxed your character. Like if I'm really fucking good at min-maxing and strategizing, you know, and my loadout is great. The game's going to be like, hold my beer.
Yeah.
And it's great. Now I have to just keep working on it. And it, it keeps me interested in continuing to try. I don't feel like I've ever like beat the game or I'm so OP that I'm just godlike now.
No, I would say the encounters we're having, this is a good segue to what the levels look like. I mean, how, what do you do with this game? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot what we were talking about.
Okay,
what were you talking about?
Now I've forgotten that too. Okay, I was talking about how the world tiers.
No, I got it. It came back to me.
The game's like, hold my beer.
It came back to me. What I was saying is every encounter we face never feels too easy or like way too difficult. It's challenging, but yeah. We know it can be done.
Yes.
And that's because the world tier keeps adapting to you. So, a typical like mission in Outriders is as follows. Essentially, you have like your main missions, your side missions, you have animal and human bounties, and that's more or less what progresses the story or the main missions.
A bounty is like go kill a monster or a human.
Go kill Butt Sex McGee and go kill his dog Fluffy or something, whatever.
And they're like really, really hard fights.
They're pretty difficult, but the rewards are definitely worth it. I think in bounties are the two places where I've gotten my legendaries. Reward. So,
yeah,
but they're totally optional. You don't have to do them if you don't want to, but the main missions are obviously what progress the story forward. So like, let's say, you know, the main missions take place in different locations. So there's like a forest, there's like a quarry. I'm trying to think of some other places.
Oh, there's just like ruins.
Ruins. And the areas that you play in are, you know, they're, it's a pretty good sized map, but I'm trying to think of what's the best way to explain it. Like the pathways are fairly linear, but there are some open areas where you're going to want to explore and look for loot. And every area more or less has little like barriers or barricade things where your enemies are going to be popping in and out.
Little battle arenas within these. I'd say overall it feels fairly lineal. This is not really a sandbox or anything.
Linear. I like lineal.
Did I say lineal?
You said lineal.
Because something in my mind was like, did I say lineal?
You did
or
say lineal.
Well,
okay.
it's not lineal.
I know,
though.
But it was kind of funny. So I wasn't going to correct you on it.
Well, I think I came back and caught myself, but it took like 10 seconds.
So anyway, they're kind of, these areas are kind of broken down into little mini areas / arenas, and there's fast travel flags scattered throughout for easy fast travel access. So you can come back as you want to. You can also replay missions, which is kind of fun, which is good if you want to farm for world tier building or maybe some legendaries. But I do think in this next upcoming patch, they're going to be removing that option. Maybe we made this a little too easy.
Yeah, is it too many people are farming certain bosses or beasts for loot and world tier? And actually, you and I haven't farmed a single mission. And
we did in the demo, but we haven't in the main game.
Yeah. No, in the main game, no. And I feel like you don't really need to. I mean, we're progressing just fine without farming.
But I mean, like the level design, like it's fine and it's good and it's fun. It makes for fun battles. It's obviously not the highlight. I think we've talked about the highlight, which is kind of like the character customization and the loot and whatnot. And if we haven't mentioned.
And the combat itself.
And the combat itself. The loot itself, you have common, unusual, rare, epic, and legendary. So you have, those are your tiers of loot, FYI.
Yeah, makes sense.
I feel like, you know, the one thing we haven't touched too much on is the combat, but we also have also talked about it at the same time. But again, it's just like super fucking fun.
It's really good.
And I think this brings us in, Demers, to our very first listener question.
Woohoo!
Comes from LionBeard40. What's up, friend? So he asks, I've heard a lot of comparisons to other games. What have you noticed about the game that sets it apart from some of those other looter shooters? So comparisons to other games. So it's funny. Jason's new thing is that he likes to say, this game, it's like this, this, and this, all had a baby. And today I saw this photo on Reddit when I was on the Outriders Reddit page. And it was four hands all holding each other. And each hand had a label representing like a group of players. Okay. The first one was People Sick of Destiny. The second one was Anthem Refugees, RIP. The third was Warframe Players Trying to Kick the Habit. And the fourth was that guy still playing The Division for some reason. I was like, that's a really good analogy.
Yeah, what I see in this game is like The Division had a baby with, I don't know, maybe Borderlands, like Borderlands 2. And like Diablo 3 got in there for a little bit of quick action. And Diablo, like, this game got the genes of Diablo 3, but only on the loot side, and it got the and it got the genes of Borderlands and The Division 2 pretty equally. But these are all very good things. These are excellent games, all of which are co-op games that you and I have played and we have fucking loved.
We have. We've had a great
time. So you mash up those three games and you have got a damn good co-op game.
And I think, yeah, that has a lot to do with what sets this apart, is I think it kind of, Outriders takes some of the best elements of certain games.
Yeah.
Brings them together. And for me, like, what I just love more than anything is just the combat in this game. And generally, like, it's not a fun combat person. I'm more of a story person. I want to read all the codex entries, but I'm finding myself skipping some of them because I just want to get to the combat.
Just get to the... Well, and I love doing the combat. And then after the combat, there's inevitably a period of inactivity, but you go back to camp and you look at all the loot you got from your combat.
The modifiers you can equip.
And now what cool mods do I have? What cool weapons do I have? How can I re-equip my character to be even better the next time we go into battle?
So while I don't think Outriders has broken the mold and done something brand new, I think what it does do is it does stuff that's been done, but it does it better.
Better.
Yeah. And I think just giving, again, like I keep talking about this, but giving your classes like the Devastator, like some non-typical class skills is really fun for me.
Yeah.
And we haven't talked, and there's not too much to say about like the story itself or like the characters and the acting, but it's a beautiful game. I love the Outrider, my main character. I think she's fun. I love her facial animations. I love the delivery of the voice actress. Like, so I'm always excited whenever we have a new cutscene. I mean, even Jason's trying to pay attention to the story.
I am.
And so, like, again, I think People Can Fly have just built something really special here and something that's really fine-tuned and optimized.
I agree.
I think that's why. Like, you can tell so far, and I don't know how many hours we've played of this, 15, 20?
Probably, yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
At least 20. They've really, you know, they haven't cut any corners.
No, they haven't. And what's puzzling to me is that there is so much depth here. And I think you said we were going to talk about this.
Yeah.
Maybe now's the time.
Sure.
Is how can this be so deep for a campaign experience that comes to an end? They either have to give this thing DLC, like arm injections, like every few months or every year or something like that, in order to keep you going, or do they put in some kind of game as a service element that keeps players able to come in and just play this game? Because here's what I'm worrying about. When we hit the end of this campaign, now what? What
I is have the answers end game? For you.
All right, tell me the answer. What's the end game?
So after you finish the game, this will be spoiler free, don't worry. You unlock a new mission type that's called Expeditions.
Okay.
And there's 15 of them available. These are described as tough, handcrafted levels that feature, quote, unique mechanics and challenges, and have their own challenge tier, which is like a world tier. There's 15 challenge tiers.
Okay.
And it sounds like the quicker you nail through these levels, the better your loot will be. So maybe it's kind of like, just go for loot at this point. I'm not entirely sure.
Are these like raids in Destiny?
I don't think, no. No, I don't think so. When you think of raids, you think of like several hour shenanigans. I don't think this is that. I think these are just like hard levels with unique tweaks.
Do you know if they can be done with like one or two players, or do we need like a full party?
I don't know. I think you and I can probably play it on our own. I didn't look too much into it because we haven't finished the game yet. Yeah. I'm scared of spoilers. But what I do know is that my poor Devastator class, people who rock the Devastator are getting kicked out of online parties.
Oh, why?
Because it's a tank and they're not known for dealing the most damage. And because these are essentially like speed runs in a sense, everyone, if they see you're rocking a Devastator, they're going to kick your ass out, which makes me kind of sad. Huh. But you would never kick me out.
I would never kick you out. I need to hide behind your magnetic force field shield.
They reflect bullets. So that's the, that's what I know comes at the end of Outriders, like after you wrapped it up. You have Expeditions.
All right.
But
it makes me feel better, but hopefully more is coming.
Right. So speaking of that, so people Can Fly have stressed time and time again that this is not going to be a game as a service. So don't expect battle passes. Don't expect like a cosmetic store that features real money. In fact, there are no microtransactions in Outriders at all. And all cosmetics and emotes are unlocked through just playing the game. But what they have said, and this comes from Screen Rants, quote, the studio is happy to create more content in the future if people like the game enough. Many stories the developers came up with did not make it into Outriders at launch. And some of these could end up being added later as DLC, and they would only take the form of, quote, significant expansions with self-contained stories. So you brought up Diablo a lot in this, but that was actually part of their inspiration by reading through some interviews, was the way Diablo and Blizzard handled Diablo's DLCs and how it handled the additional content.
Got it.
So my takeaway from it all is, as long as the game continues to perform well, they will support it with new content in the form of major like expansion passes, but not like game as a service type deals.
Cool. That's fine with me. You know, like I feel like if you took Diablo and someone was like, reimagine Diablo, but as a shooter, as a looter shooter, this is the closest that I think you would come up with, aside from not, it's not in the Diablo universe or world. And I get that, but
yeah,
this feels to me like someone took Diablo and turned it into a looter shooter. That's what I feel. And that's a really good thing because Diablo is fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, I would say like, I don't know if it's as deep. It's definitely not as deep as that kind of RPG customization. I think when you say Diablo, it's kind of, again, like when we compared Rogue Heroes or whatever to like Link to the Past, that's a great comparison, but you have to be a little careful with expectations when it comes to that. But I pick up what you're putting down, Demers.
Yeah.
We are at 40 minutes. I know.
So much to say about this game.
I knew this was going to be a beefy episode, and there's still so much more we could say. I just want to mention real quick that, there is that first patch that's coming out because we're still having some issues with the servers. Jason, unfortunately, has been kicked from my game probably half a dozen times at this point.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much been without consequence, but there has been a time when all of your selling or modding didn't stick and you had to do it again or something like
that. Yep. I had 5 minutes of selling and modding and didn't stick.
But some other balance patches that are coming soon will be, again, nerfing the Trickster and Technomancer classes and fixes for multiplayer stability and connection issues. But those will probably take a little longer to fully nail down, but it's coming soon. And I also read that they said there are no plans to include a PvP mode, which I thought was not really surprising. I mean, that's not what they're going for.
Yeah, but. Agreed.
Okay. I mean, gosh, I feel like we haven't really talked about any criticisms of the game. So if you have any, now, I mean, we really love this game. Like, yeah. There are, I think I mentioned this earlier, was I wish the skills had a radial menu because it's kind of...
You want to be able to switch on the fly.
Yeah. But maybe that would, you know what that would probably do is like then why then limit you to 3 skills at a time if you can just open up a radial menu? It does kind of add a layer of complexity to it. But
yeah.
Again, I found like if I have a certain skill equipped, it's not useful because you never know what kind of monsters you're going to encounter.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the tricky part. So you have to just hope that your loadout is adapted to what you're going to encounter.
Yeah, I'd say that my only criticism is I feel like there's a lot of let me just say this. When loading screens themselves are short, but there are a lot of loading screens because we have to travel from one place to another place, and then from that place we have to travel to some sub place there. And so I feel like we're just doing a lot of fast travel, but there's a lot of loading screens that are there. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of like, can't we just like pick one place from some like universal map and just go there? But apparently we can't.
Yeah, you know, when Andrea was talking about this game after she previewed it, they did have a reason for all of those screens.
Huh.
What that was is slipping my mind because I didn't know how to apply it. But I want to say it has something to do with when you're playing with a bunch of people, well, 3 people, it's a good way to sync all the characters up.
Oh, I see.
But I feel like that could also just be accomplished with everyone readying up before a checkpoint. I don't know, but I agree. The loading screens do seem a little excessive, especially when it's like, press X or B to enter here, and you do, and then it gives you a 5-second screen of your character lifting up a log and passing it underneath it.
Yeah,
and then that's the scene and you're like, okay. And then you're in the area.
Yeah. It's kind of like lame little loading screen animation cutscenes that just feel like really
maybe it's good for immersion. Like your character had to lift up a log, but I don't know.
Yeah. So too much of that, but you know, the game, don't let that dissuade you.
Oh God, no. And I would say, you know, just if you're going to hop into it now, just be prepared for some issues. Obviously, Outriders had a pretty rocky launch with their server issues, and some people were total dickheads and were sending death threats and whatnot to the social team, to the developers, because people are fucking unreasonable, don't understand that game development is hard.
Imagine sending a death threat because you're so butthurt that you can't play a video game.
You know, people do it. I don't understand it, but Anyway, yeah, like things aren't the most stable. I mean, they're pretty fucking good, but they're not 100% stable at this point. And we've come across some interesting bugs where like our skill cooldowns were permanently like stuck, but they were still usable. You know, like it.
Well, dude, you never mentioned the opening to this episode. Oh, my episode.
Farting pants.
Your farting pants. This is a bug. Shit. You got now.
Now I have to talk about my farting pants. Yes. Yeah. Okay, let's wrap up the opening with this ending here. So. I have a skill that's called Tremor. And what's really cool about Tremor is that it impacts enemies all around me. It hurts them. And then I sap some of their HP. But what this looks like, friends, is it looks like I'm like a tremor.
It looks
is,
like a tuft of like a puff of air.
A puff of air is coming from like your my butt. Character, my Outrider. Okay. So
it's shooting straight down into the ground and blowing dust and dirt around you in a circular.
It is. So imagine you're just like, I'm standing there and the dust, yeah, like a bunch of dust is coming out from my character. And the problem is it got stuck.
In the animation.
In the animation. And we were out of battle. I mean, I had quit playing the game and I booted back up. It was still there. And it looked like my character was just constantly like farting.
Every five seconds.
And what was so fucking distracting about it is I would be like maybe in the middle of looting something or crouching or trying to be stealthy or something. And the tremor itself would destroy everything around me. So like maybe there's a cutscene happening or something, and then like all these boxes and shit just go exploding around me when I'm when I'm supposed to be having a super serious moment because my character has farty pants. So again, like in Diablo 3, I had the pants with the stinky trait, and
same thing, puffs of air coming out.
I always get the farting pants.
You do. I don't know how you do it.
I don't know. It's just like a knack. It's why you love me. It's why you're like, I gotta marry that bitch. She has farting pants.
That's exactly why.
Oh boy. Well, we are 45 minutes into this at this point, and I feel like we could just keep talking. There's just a lot to dive into here, but we generally try to keep these episodes a little shorter than this, but I feel like there was just so much to talk about.
Yeah.
And yeah.
There's a lot to say, but it's a great game. This is not going to disappoint. This is the most fun we've had in a long
time. And it's so fantastic to see. I feel like, especially when you have a new IP like this, to see it really take off and be really successful. I mean, I don't think we've seen numbers yet, but from what I'm seeing, a lot of people are really enjoying it. And I think People Can Fly is a very talented studio. We know they worked on a bunch of stuff before this, and I think they've taken everything they've learned and made something really cool here. So props to them. It's a lot of fucking fun.
Agreed. Yep, this is an awesome game.
It is. Oh, and the characters are so good too. We didn't even talk about that. Okay, anyway. So, if you would like to get in touch with us at the Co-op Show, you can email us at contact@coopshow.com. You can go to coopshow.com, follow me on Twitter at BlondeNerd, and then you can follow us on Twitter, which I think is The Co-op Show. I think we actually managed to snag that title. I think it's The Co-op Show, but we're not like super active there. But I do post our new episodes.
I see that.
Yeah, thanks.
Good job.
Thanks, friend or husband. I called you friend.
I'll be your friend if you want.
Oh, want some belly rubs? And yeah, if you want Jason or Reb to get belly rubs, please leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice.
I like belly rubs.
You've never had a belly rub.
Let me rephrase that. I would like to experience belly rubs.
All right, friends, I gotta go light a candle and pour some whiskey here for my husband and give him his first apparent belly rub. So on that note, we will say goodbye, but we will be back next week with a new game. Until then, take care of yourself. You're awesome. Goodbye.
Later.